Welcome to episode 24 of Practical Defense, Crime Survival. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Addix. Last time, in our quick tip, I mentioned that when entering a convenience store, you should always remember to observe the clerk and gauge how he or she is acting. In this episode, we're going to expand on that and go into other aspects of crime survival. Things like more warning indicators that something might happen, what to do if you find yourself in a store when it's being robbed, and severe warning signs that things might get violent. But before we jump into the topic, I wanted to ask just one last time for everyone to complete our listener survey. You can find it at the top of the podcast page on my website, and that URL is alexhaddix.com/podcast. There's a big red button at the top, and I really appreciate your time. And I also wanted to give a big thank you to those that already have completed the survey. In our quick tip last week, I mentioned that you should always look at the clerk when you enter a convenience store to evaluate his or her demeanor. I mean, does the clerk look nervous? Heck, is there even someone at the register? If the clerk looks nervous or if the cash register is abandoned, those are good indicators that something is happening or is about to happen. But there are other indicators that something might be amiss, some even before you walk through the door. Many things appear normal by themselves, but when several factors add up, you should start hearing warning bells go off inside your head. Now, as I always say, awareness is your key to a safe and worry-free life. Awareness goes hand in hand with avoidance. I'm not trying to turn people into paranoid, flipped-out, jump-at-your-own-shadow freaks. The purpose of this type of information is to educate people so that they can make informed decisions about the safety and security of their environments. Will what I lay out always be true? No, of course not. Nothing is ever 100%. Life is far too complicated for that. But there can be no indicators at all, and something terrible might still be going down. Or things were fine when you walked in, but went wrong as you were paying for your bag of Cheesy Puffs. Hopefully, what I propose in these podcasts will help keep you safer and possibly avoid problems. The issue is that unless you are aware of what might happen, you're unprepared for when it does, and unless you know what an event might look like, how can you avoid it? Okay, let's start with our evaluation process from the time that we exit our vehicles and approach the building. Now, this can be true for a convenience store, a grocery store, a liquor store, your bank, a standalone cash machine, pretty much any establishment. Before you enter the building, take a second to scan the parking lot. What do you see there? Is there a car parked close to the door, but in the red no parking zone? Is a car parked facing out for an easy departure, backed into the spot? Is the car parked, but with someone in the driver's seat and the engine's running? Any one of these things by themselves are not suspicious. I see people parking in the red zones all the time at convenience stores, sometimes even blocking the door. I even see people parking the handicap spots for a quick run and out of the shop. What about facing out? It's not as common, but even I do it. I drive a big truck, and it's much easier to back into a parking spot than trying to back out of a face-in spot while trying to avoid traffic driving behind you and in your blind spot. So what about someone parked with the engine running waiting for someone to run in and out of the shop? It happens all the time. None of these things are unusual. What you need to do is make a mental note of them and store that information away for future recall. We're looking for a combination of several different factors. Next is the clerk at the register, and we covered this part last week in our quick tip, so I won't spend too much time on it. But does he look nervous? Is he moving stiffly? Is he stuttering? Are his eyes darting about? Is he sweating? Or is he smiling casually and being friendly? What you're looking here for is body language. What are the unspoken words telling you? If you decide to go in, who's in the store with you? Does anyone look out of place? Is anyone jumpy, sweaty, twitchy, or looking nervous? Also, if you're inside, keep an ear to cell phone conversations. What are they saying? Is the guy giving security information to the person on the other end? In our episode on travel, we talked about how adamant customs agents were about not using cell phones. And this is exactly why. There could be an inside man scouting out the place and relaying security information to someone else who's about to enter. Information like where the cameras are, how many people are inside, where they are, this whole sorts of thing. And this happens more often than you think. Whenever you enter a building, you should immediately identify where the emergency exits are. I don't care if it's your home, your workplace, your local grocery store, a movie theater, a hotel, or your bank. Take a second right now and think of where the closest exit is to your desk at work. You spend upwards of 40 hours a week there, so you should know exactly where it is, right? Can you picture your closest exit to your desk in your mind? Can you draw a mental path to it from your desk? Could you find it in the dark, crawling on your hands and knees? I hope so. Let's think now of restaurants. Where do you want to sit in a restaurant? You know, try to get a seat near an exit when you sit. And also, put your back to a wall so that you face the majority of the room. The next time you eat out and you see a uniformed police officer, notice where they sit. They sit at the back of the restaurant, with the backs to the walls, facing the majority of the room. So should you. And in fact, my father-in-law, Dave Baker, who we interviewed an episode or so back, still does this. Okay, we've taken all the precautions we can. We've been alert, we've looked at the clerk, looked at the customers, and everything seems fine. But tonight is just not your night, and you're in the middle of an armed robbery. What can you do to reduce your risk of injury and increase your chances of survival? And again, I'd like to say what I'm going to suggest is no guarantee. Anyone who is capable of robbing a store at gunpoint is going to be unpredictable and twitchy, and that makes for a really dangerous situation. So what I want to start was with a bunch of do nots. So the first things you do not want to do, and number one is you do not want to make them any more nervous or agitated than they already are. So do not make any sudden movements. If the robber isn't hopped up on drugs or alcohol, he's at least hopped up on adrenaline. So do not antagonize his itchy trigger finger. Do not make direct eye contact. This can be seen as a confrontation or a challenge. You do not want to challenge the nervous man with a loaded gun. You do not want to speak unless spoken to. You do not want to draw attention to yourself. So be invisible. Be someone who is not a threat. And here are some things that you do want to do. You want to maintain a submissive posture. And again, you do not want to challenge the person with a gun. I know this might strike at some of the egos out there, but if you try to be a hero when there's no cause for it, someone, and maybe not even you, will get hurt unnecessarily. You do want to speak when spoken to. Do not ignore the gunman when he speaks directly to you. Again, this might make him mad, and you do not want to make him mad. You want to try and remain calm. And I know this is a really hard one, but you have to try. A calm mind is a clear thinking mind, and you need to think clearly in these situations. Also, you want to comply with all reasonable commands. If all this guy wants is cash from the cash register, let him take it. It's just money. If the guy wants your wallet, give it to him. Cash and objects are not worth your life. Let him take your wedding ring. These are just things, and as I've said before, no thing is worth your life. Just let it go. So comply with all reasonable commands until such time as you have reason not to. So here's a real-life example of when time for compliance is over. Here in Los Angeles, some years back, some robbers took over a shop and took hostages. Now, I can't remember what type of shop it was. You know, the police were called out, the SWAT snipers were called out, and they were on the rooftops, and there was tons of media coverage. I was watching it live on TV. There had been a standoff for some time, and the robbers had lined up all the hostages in front of the glass windows. They were laying on the floor, face down, with their heads towards the glass window. And one of the robbers opened up the front door, which was a glass door, just as a sniper shot at him. Problem is, the sniper missed. The shot was well aimed, but the heavy glass door deflected the bullet enough to cause a miss. In retaliation, the robber ran down the line, executing all the hostages right there in front of the glass window as it was broadcast live. It is something that I will never forget. One of the things that astounded me was that all the hostages just laid there. There were something like 10 people lined up, and the gunman just went down the row. You know, the first few had no chance to react, but the ones on the end could have done something. At the moment the execution started, the need for compliance ended. And I remember thinking to myself, move and run or get up, but they didn't. And all of the hostages died right there, live on TV. Now here's another true story that happened to a very good friend of mine. I don't remember if I've told this story on the podcast before, but I tell it frequently and I tell it to all my students when they take my crime survival class. If you heard it before, I apologize. And if it's new, here it is. Now this is a true story that was told to me by a friend of mine whom I've known since high school. And he lived in Argentina for a number of years. He was down there working as an English teacher. One night, he and his friends were out at dinner when the restaurant they were eating in was robbed. Now, the armed gunman just walked through the front door and took control of the restaurant, And then they went around to every single table and collected all the wallets, purses, watches, and jewelry, everything. And once they cleaned out all the tables, they left. And after they were gone, the manager locked the front door and called the police. Now, all the people complied with the gunman, and no one challenged them, and no one was harmed up to that point. But now here's the kicker. The robbers came back. After being gone for a minute or so, they returned and demanded to be let back in because they felt that they didn't get enough money and goods out of the people in the restaurant. They felt that someone had held back on them. Now, of course, the manager wasn't going to open the door and let them back in, so the guy started shooting through the large plate glass windows and forced their way back in. And my friend distinctly remembers hearing bullets whiz by his head. Now, the manager called everyone into the back of the restaurant, and they hid wherever they could, in pantries and closets, just anywhere. And the gunman walked through the place, but couldn't find anybody. They did some yelling and some more shooting, and then they left. Unfortunately, no one was physically harmed. So the rule is, comply until you have such reasons as not to. The last thing I'll cover are some indicators that things are about to get violent. In fact, we even call them execution indicators. Now, there are four of them. And the first one is the gunman has you face away from him. And the next one is the gunman puts a hood over your face or somehow blocks your vision. The third one is the gunman moves you an unreasonable amount of distance. And the fourth one, which is the big one, is the gunman binds you. In of themselves, any one of these can have innocuous results. However, when combined, they should set off huge alarms. You know, facing away is a common pre-execution practice. Very few people can look the victim in the eye as they kill them in cold blood, and that's why they have them face away. Putting a hood over the face is another way of blocking eye contact and removing the humanity from the victim. But, you know, from the other side, facing away or blocking the vision is also a way of letting the robber escape in an unknown direction. If you don't know that he's left for certain, you might wait an extra 10 or 15 minutes before calling the police, and when the police do show up and they ask which way did he go, you don't know. Movement is another alarm indicator. You know, they could be taking you in the back to lock you up in a closet to make it harder for you to call the police and give them more time to escape, or they could be taking you in the back for more other nefarious reasons. The greatest execution indicator is binding. Binding does not always lead to execution, but the outcome is never good. It's been kind of a heavy episode, and I really pray that no one listening is ever in any of these situations. But I do hope that at least everyone got something that they can use to stay safer and come out of a highly volatile situation unharmed. So what we have in summary is, first, start checking for suspicious activity even before you enter the building. Look at the cashier or clerks. Look at the patrons and customers. If you feel nervous or feel something's wrong, leave. And if you are caught in the middle of something, do not make any sudden movements. Do not make direct eye contact. Do not speak unless spoken to. And do not draw unnecessary attention to yourself. Be invisible. Be someone who is not a threat. And some things that you may want to do. You want to maintain a submissive posture. You want to speak when spoken to. You want to try and remain calm. And you want to comply with all reasonable commands. And our execution indicators are that the gunman has you face away from him. The gunman puts a hood over your face or somehow or other blocks your vision. The gunman moves you an unreasonable amount of distance. And the fourth execution indicator is that the gunman binds you. But before we close, I want to thank Christine and Etienne for their topic suggestions that they sent in last week. I will definitely cover them in some upcoming episodes. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexhaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.